All right.
All right. There we go. Yeah. Awesome. So welcome today to this episode of Don't Kill the Messenger. We're calling it the Water Cooler Series for now, at the moment, because we're going live every day at 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time, or my time, or as I like to call it, the Forgotten Time Zone. So that's also 1:30 p.m. Eastern, for those of you watching, if you want to kind of figure it out where you fall under there. And we're having several people come on. Today I have Don from Speakers Pathway, really talking about speaking and how he's helping speakers become successful speakers, how he's created a platform really for either speakers who don't have much experience or speakers who have plenty of experience to grow and scale and really practice their expertise and really bring that out from the perspective of speaking, right? Because there's someone like me who lives online. I love doing virtual events. I love doing things online, creating videos like this, but there's a difference when you're actually on stage and you're speaking in front of people in a live event room here. So I'll let Don kind of introduce himself there, and he can tell you a little bit more about it as we get situated here and as people start kind of rolling in, and then we'll get started into our conversation today. So hey, Don.
Hey, Victor, thank you so much for having me. I still remember, I think you and I met in person just before this whole, like,
yeah,
right? I mean, like within a week before things went really crazy. So it's nice to get back together with you again.
Absolutely. I know for me, what was it? It was, it was at Panera Bread, and it was funny because we started hearing about all of this happening, and I made a joke online saying like, oh, I coughed and I've never felt so judged, you know, at Panera. And I was like just in line to ordering lunch, and you know, we were just normal lives sitting at a restaurant at Panera Bread, and we had a conversation about what you're doing and what I'm doing, how we can make things even better for both of us and to help even more people. So yeah, that was something cool. So tell us a little bit about like what we talked about and what you're doing right now.
Yeah, so I'll just talk a little bit about speaking. So people sometimes think speaking is, you know, getting on a stage in front of 10,000 people, like you might see Les Brown or Tony Robbins or some of those. But you know what we're doing right now? What are we doing right now, Victor?
Speaking. Yeah, exactly. Speaking.
And it's really about having a clear message. And one thing, I've met a lot of speakers, and one thing that the speakers will tell me, I got a great story. And when I was training with Les Brown, he says, nobody cares about your story.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Nobody cares about your story. What they care is the problem that you can solve for them, or how can you help them? And so one of the biggest things we have to do as speakers is to figure out how our story can be helpful to someone, and then what problem we can solve for whom.
I love it because it's so true. And a lot of what I learned initially when I first started speaking at live events is like, yeah, I had great stories. And like one of the places I first started was 1 Million Cups. And they're really focused on learning my story, which is great and all, but like that, I have to find a way that relates that to how I help people and why that's really moving toward that, I guess, movement, right? Like what movement have I started? Why do I do what I do? And kind of understanding the why behind it. But yeah, with stories, it allows you people to resonate, at least what I found. So I'm sure you have a little bit more to say to that as well.
Well, stories are incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. The printing press was invented around 1485, right? So before then, how was information portrayed? How was it passed along? It was passed along through story. And so our brains are kind of hardwired to pick up and tune in and pay attention to stories. So again, going back to Les, he was one of the people, he says, never make a point without a story, never tell a story without a point. And mm-hmm. when you're crafting your business stories, there's actually three key stories that you need in your business. You need your what story, which is the story of a customer that you've helped. What you do, what problem did you solve for them? There's your how story, like what makes you special? Like how did you do it better than anybody else? And then there's your why story. And the three of those stories together, you know, create a powerful brand.
Wow, I love that. So your what story, your how story, and then the last one you said was your why story. Right? Yeah, I love it. No, that's very interesting because I feel like just from that right there, I can be like, yep, I got everything. That's the gold nugget I needed to make it myself even more successful as a speaker. because I know I have a what and why. I necessarily never really talked about how, just because, I'm sorry, it was the reverse of that. I have a how and why, but not necessarily never really talked about the what. And that's very interesting to think about. So most commonly, what do you see when someone comes to you in a speaker's pathway and really, because I know you help curate all of that and help people pull that out of them. So where do people need the most help out of those three?
So it's what I find, because I do a lot of the onboarding. I'm pretty high touch when someone joins Speaker's Pathway. I find the first thing is clarity. That's where most people who come and join Speaker's Pathway, who very few of them are actually professional speakers. They are people who either want to speak or use speaking in part of their business, but they're typically entrepreneurs in business for a year or more, and they're just not getting traction. And what I find is often they're doing like 30 things. Like they got like 30 projects. I'm going to book, and I got this, and I got this, and I got this, and I got this. And they're not making money at any of them. Not enough money anyways.
Right. Yeah.
And so one of the first things we do at Speaker's Pathway is we make the world really small. Really small, and say, let's pick one thing and let's get some momentum behind that thing. Let's find your fast path to cash and let's generate some cash so that you can go hire some people or VAs or something to do all the other wonderful things and unlock that incredible wisdom that you have. That's where I see people need the most help is clarity around that, getting their fast path to cash and getting some cash flowing.
I love it, because it's funny. We talked about this. I feel like I talked about this yesterday, actually, with a live event producer. She was a live event planner, a really good one, Shay Wheat. And we talked about how, like, the business fundamentals, really, like, knowing who you serve. And I think that's that clarity piece that you're talking about. Some people have trouble with that. They're like, yeah, I could, for example, when I first started with Facebook ads and serving clients that way, I worked with a variety of clients. And I don't think it's a bad way of doing it. I think you do need to find out who you can serve best, who you like working with. But if you do the research beforehand, I did some initial research of, like, these are the types of people I can help. Let's see who, and it was kind of that variety of, now it's finding out specifically who I can help the best there. And I think that's what you're getting at when you're saying clarity and helping people really pull that out of themselves. Because what is it? That was the old saying with the wine bottle. You know what I'm talking about? How, like, it's harder to view you can't see the label from the inside or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that quote, but I do like wine.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, here's one thing that I've seen is, and it's never been more important. Mm-hmm. This has never been more important, that there's a lot of people that all of us can help, right? We all have things that we've learned. We've gone to have incredible life experiences. But here's the thing. You can't craft an effective marketing message that hits all of them.
Yeah.
So exactly. And if I go to a live event, I run into somebody, I meet someone, and I can flex my message depending upon who they are, right? I could say, oh, do you know, I've got some experience in rock climbing, or I've got some experience as an author. But you know what? When you're online, don't work that way unless you've got some kind of artificial intelligence that most of us don't have access to. So never been more important to be very targeted. It's not that you can't help lots of people, but you can't effectively market to anything but, you know, a narrow segment.
Mm-hmm. And then I feel like when having that clarity, you also really get to understand what types of events are going to be beneficial to you to be a speaker or to sponsor as a speaker. Because if you're trying to just go and speak in everywhere, then you're kind of, I feel you kind of fall into that same category online where you're just saying, like, I could help everyone, you know, and then it kind of becomes muddled. So I love that. What do you say are some of the things that you help people do as far as really defining that clarity so they know what events to really go after and start building those relationships?
It typically starts with one question, and I onboard someone at Speaker's Pathway, usually we'll get to know each other, what are you up to? And it usually boils down to this question: what problem do you solve for whom?
I love how I think I've had themes for the past couple of weeks here. This week's theme has been business fundamentals, and I feel like that's definitely one of them. You have this, what is it? It's true. You have to know what problem it is you solve. And I think to further add to that, like in the words that the people that you help solve it for.
Yeah, you have to. It all begins there. What problem do you solve for whom? And some people say, I don't really solve a problem. Okay, well, maybe you create an opportunity for someone. You can make life better, or you can solve a problem. It's typically easier to market something that solves a problem. But you know, if you're a coach that makes people feel better, find more energy, they might not have that problem, but they might want that to feel better. But nonetheless, you solve a problem, you create an opportunity for somebody, and it all begins there. It's until you, and yep. We sometimes spend, you know, several sessions, you know, really like figuring that out. And then once you figure that out, then everything just starts becoming clear and things just start happening.
And I love it because that makes a lot of sense. So, because if you don't, or if you aren't clear on those initial pieces, then a lot of what you do kind of is like you mentioned earlier, like it's hard to get momentum on a bunch of things, and why it's easy to start a ton of things. And I know we had, what is it? A couple of people really, come to us at one point, and they were saying like, I have a lead gen problem. Right. And when we really took a deep dive into what they were doing, a lot of what we found was like, I had to turn them away. I was like, you don't need leads right now. You need a system to deliver this like more effectively, really. If I bring you more leads, you're still not going to make as many sales as you think you are going to make, because you don't have the system to take on that first. Right. So I know there's and that's because I am clear on who it is I can help the best. Right. Sure. I can say like, yeah, let's do it. Let's bring you leads. And then they come to me and say like, well, those are the worst leads I've ever gotten or anything like that. And I've heard people tell me horror stories of like, yeah, I worked with someone like you before, and they gave me, pardon the language, but they said like, they gave me like crap leads and stuff like that. And it's oftentimes you have to really take a look at it. Like, was that really what happened? Or did you not have a system to take on and have conversations with everyone and really listen and identify those right people? But yeah, I love it. It's really understanding that clear message first.
Absolutely. Getting clarity around that. And we've all done it, right? We built campaigns where it looks like it's going great. Hey, you know, low cost of a click. And then all of a sudden it just kind of like it all stops.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the best way you can get someone not to take an action is to confuse them.
Right. Exactly. We definitely.
When we're confused, I call it the wall of yogurt effect. Right. My wife sends me to the store to get yogurt, and I stand there and there's like a million kinds of yogurt, and I leave with no yogurt because I go on overload. So the best way to have someone not take an action is confuse them.
I love that, because I completely resonate with that. I've been there. I've gone to the store and I was like, oh gosh, which one do I choose? And there's like a ton of them. And now you're like, I'm just gonna go over there and get something else. And then you just never come back to it. Yeah, I love how you wrapped that story into like a quick story that people can resonate with, right? That really drives the point home. And I feel like once you're clear on what you do and how you help, it allows you to take life that happens every day to you and then just create little stories that really bring a point home to what is it? To really solidify that purpose or whatever the moral of that story was.
Yeah, and see, it doesn't have to be some big long yarn, right?
Yeah,
and that is a story, right?
Yeah,
like exactly. Me going in the grocery store. A, my wife tells me to do something. It's a little bit funny. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you picture me standing in front of the wall of yogurt. Now you've got an image in your mind, and that's one of the key things is to create images in people's minds. We're doing the series right now. It's a daily speaking series we call "Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Support." It's a Give Back by Speakers Pathway. We did a call for speakers. We had 120 speakers apply, 3 speakers every single day with messages of inspiration, hope, and support. And in watching the speakers, the speakers who they gave good information, But those that wrap a story around it or create images in our minds are the ones that I remember, and I'm watching all of them. So creating images in people's minds is absolutely key.
I love it because I know, so here's something that I've seen done a lot. And like, I explain this all the time. And this is something that maybe in the last 2 years I started using. I talk, a lot of what I do is kind of technical. So it is hard to wrap your head around for a lot of people that don't know. And there are people like me that can talk about it, but then it gets a little dry. And I think you've probably been there. So we're like, oh yeah. So we get into the technical parts. Well, you do this with the Facebook ad, and you click this button, and then this is what happens, and this is how you generate a sale from that lead, and blah, blah, blah. But then the way I talk about it is I talk about an experience I had with my daughter where I told her like to eat her lunch. If she wanted if she wanted that cookie, she had to eat her lunch. Right. So as I talk about lead gen in that perspective, I'm like, what you want to do is you offer the cookie if they want it. If they want it, then they're like, yeah, I want that thing. And then the next offer becomes like, do you want milk with that? People have used this all the time with the whole upsell to explain like upsells with the whole, do you want fries with that, with like McDonald's and everything like that. But I use the cookie and milk analogy because it says, I tell them they don't need the offer, but it makes the experience that much better. And that's what we want to do. And that's how I explain like our three-step process to generating leads and converting the immediate sale. But it makes sense because people can like, oh yeah, I've been in that position. Either I've been offered a cookie and milk or I've offered people cookie and milk. And like it allows you to really drive it home. I love it. Yeah.
Who doesn't like cookies?
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. And if you don't, I don't think we can have a conversation. Like,
right.
Yeah.
And another challenge that I see is, you know, people can generate a following because we're all likable to some people, right? And so we will attract people just by being who we are and by helping people and offering that. But I see that many people don't know how to make an offer.
That's compelling. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's compelling. And, you know, and it's an offer all the way from what your cookie is, right? I mean, I'm tired of like a PDF with 7 bullet points on it as being something valuable. It used to work 5 years ago, maybe, but now with so much information out there. So you really have to put yourself in the place of the person that you're trying to attract to you. What is really valuable to them? And what can you just like so over deliver and give them so much value of so many things that, oh my goodness, you made this offer and it's got all these great components to it. And not just one thing, but it's this and this and this and this. And they pick one thing on. They're like, I'm going to get this just for number 3. Right. So I think there's a whole science behind making really, really attractive offers. And I feel like a lot of us fall down there.
I love it. And that it's true. Cause I mean, we have a specific framework that we use to help our clients create those irresistible offers, but that's it. I feel like a lot of people, when it comes to making an offer, they have this like trauma. I've heard it said before where it's like, we all have like the sales trauma where we hear the word sales and you immediately start to kind of like turtle a little bit, right? Cause you're just like, okay, you start to lean back and you're like, I don't know. Because we've all been in the position of hearing some pretty terrible offers and almost being kind of, what is it, cornered into an offer that you're kind of just like, I don't know how to get out of this. And it feels like icky and slimy. And I think that perception that we take that experience that we've been in and we put that in, we're like, well, I don't want to do that to somebody. And so we just never, some people may never make that offer because they don't realize like that was one time. Just don't do what you experienced. Do the opposite. It's like,
and here's, I mean, this is whenever I put together an offer, mm-hmm. I want to be like, I'm going to love. So show much love to this person. I'm going to overwhelm them with value that I'm almost going to be embarrassed to give the offer because I'm going to offer so much. I'm going to love this offer. because I'm just giving so much love in it and I'm giving so much value. And if you don't feel that way, you can't really deliver a good offer. You know, you got to love your offer. You got to be like, wow, I'm so proud of this. I'm going to help so many people with this. Not like, ooh, I think I can get away with this, right? Or, oh, I think I can, you know, game somebody into doing this. Because, you know, here's the thing. Is if you game somebody into buying with some special trial thing and then you don't deliver any value, they bounce. They get, you know, they're asked for a refund. They're no fools, right?
Yeah.
So, but you just I put together an offer that just shows so much love and so much value that you just love it.
Yeah. And I immediately go back to this, like, cookie and milk. Again, like, I feel the reason I use it, again, I talk about a different perspective. I use that story a lot in a lot of different pieces to explain different things. For example, for the Legion, I really focus on the cookie part. For the offers, I focus on the milk part because it's like, again, you feel good about, I feel great about offering my daughter milk because I know it's going to make that cookie experience that much better. Like, I'm not like, ooh, she's going to drink milk. I don't know. Let's say I was hiding like medicine in it or something, that the one like the Robitussin that we're all like, ugh, you know? Like, I'm not offering her that. I'm offering her milk. And then I know she's going to enjoy that cookie that much more. So I don't feel ashamed for making that offer to her. So we, like, and exactly like you said, we shouldn't feel ashamed for making an offer that's congruent with what they came in for.
And, you know, it's almost the other way. Yeah. By not offering how you can help people, you're almost robbing the universe of your gift.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. Like, if I didn't offer the milk, she would not, she'd have a dry cookie, you know, like.
And imagine this, I don't know what you wonder what your faith are, but, you know, picture the pearly gates, right? Whatever they do, right? And you're standing at the pearly gates and whoever's the person at the gate goes, you know, we would let you in. Oops, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, somehow something happened to my display. So, so, you know, we would let you in. But, you know, you just held on to your gift and you didn't share it with anybody. And there's a lot of people out there who really needed what you have. So, you know, go down the road, you know,
right.
Go back and do it over.
That's true. Because, it's like, and I've heard it before. I've never. So during this time, I know a lot of people were talking about, you know, they're afraid to make that ask or make an offer because they're afraid of coming off as opportunistic or like predatory in some way. And it's, again, I feel like that mentality, like, I've personally never thought of that. I've only heard it from like two people. And what it made me think of was, did they think of that? Did they feel that way? Because they don't feel truly that their offer is going to help people. Like, is that why they've actually come up with that? And that's like in the back of their head, they're not confident that they're going to be able to help people with what they're offering. If that's the case, then yeah, then at that point you are probably being opportunistic or predatory. But if not, like, I've personally never felt that way with the offers that I make to people. You know, I'm like, I know this will help you. I've turned people away. I've not made an offer because I know it doesn't help them. So I've just not made it. But yeah, it's interesting. And I think with speaking, at the end of, like, let's say it was like a speak, because there's a variety of different types of speaking opportunities, right? I'm sure there's, like, you know. Let's kind of touch on that. Like, what kind of speaking opportunities do people have when they actually start to do this?
So the one that most people think of is a keynote.
And, okay, right, yeah.
Right, and so a keynote is where you go in front of a group and you get paid to deliver some sort of useful information. Could be motivation, could be informational, could be transformational. That is the hardest stage to win.
Yeah.
And almost everybody wants to start there.
Yeah.
It's cultural, right? And so I think we all have our story. We want to share our story. That is indeed the one that requires a portfolio of great talks, referrals, really great marketing collateral. Then there's stages where you can get on somebody else's stage, almost like as a sponsor. You sponsor their event. Mm-hmm. They invite you onto their stage. You share your information. You get some exposure. Typically, you'll offer something of value that might be a gift. And then people get to know you and you engage with them and they get start and you nurture the relationship. So that's another type of stage. It's a sponsored stage. There's another stage where you might do a revenue share kind of a thing where you get on somebody's stage and you share some information and you might gather some leads or maybe even sell from the stage. And then you get some part of the sales and then the person who sponsored the stage gets part of it. So there's all these different ways. There's free stages. There's hundreds of thousands of free stages.
Oh yeah.
Every week across the country and probably a million around the world. Right. And they've got their own place. And then there's your own stage. There's your own stage that you can put on your own event. And all these things have their place. And one stage that I don't hear people talking about very much, but I think is a really powerful stage, is the training stage. This is where you get in front of a group of people and deliver them a training program.
Oh, interesting.
It's a stage, and mm-hmm. corporations need that. Associations need that. So that's a stage that the stages that I really love are associations and corporate training. I think they are the most profitable stages and the easiest to get, except for your own.
Interesting. Okay. So that is, I've never looked at those. I've heard of those, like the associations and like the first one that comes to mind, just because I know a lot of them, was real estate. Like there's a real estate association here in Colorado Springs. And I know it's like, they all need what I do. I wouldn't necessarily work with them because they're not my ideal clients. Like, sure, I can get them results, but just not the way that I can for my other clients. But I could definitely show them how to do what I do, and that would help them out. You know, like, and that's, once again, that's a stage. I love it. I didn't even think about that. That's interesting.
Stage. And there's so many opportunities out there. I spoke when I was down in Phoenix last. I was just going to be in Phoenix. And so I just...
Yeah.
I went out and I sent about 400 emails out to various groups and associations saying, hey, Don McGrath, yada, yada, I'm going to be in town. I would love to speak to your group and share with you about speaking. And an attorney's group brought me in to speak to them. And I did a storytelling in the courtroom workshop for them.
Oh,
and it was fun. And B, you know, I engaged with them. So yeah, there's all these opportunities. The opportunities are limitless. Now things have changed right now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but do you think those associations still meet?
Oh yeah, they meet virtually. They meet, yeah, exactly. So I think at this point, there's even more of an opportunity to reach them quicker. Yeah, yes. I knew you're gonna get.
You know, especially if you show that you've got savvy in using the tools.
Yeah.
If you've shown that you have video of you on a virtual stage, and right now there's so much opportunity out there. People are putting on summits like the wonderful thing that you're doing. One of our members is putting on their own virtual stage. We're doing a virtual stage. So there's so much opportunity and so much if you just make the world really small and focus and get momentum.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's, again, like there's a variety of ways to become a successful speaker that way. You know, like first, like reach out to you, of course, in Speaker's Pathway, which reminds me before I forget, kind of, if you need to know where to reach out to, go to speakerspathway.com so that you can reach out and talk to Don and see how he can help you clarify what your message is so that you understand those three important stories that you mentioned earlier, the what, the how, and the why stories of what you do and how you help. That way you're able to go to these different and actually know which ones to reach out to, because they're not all of them are going to be working for you. Right. Like I wouldn't go, for example, to, I don't know, like a health and wellness conference with like a people learning about yoga and stuff like that. Like that doesn't make sense for me to go speak there or sponsor anything like that. Right. Because that's not my people. They wouldn't necessarily benefit from what I teach them. So very similar to that, Don will help you. Do you help people find those places too?
Yeah. Yeah. We okay. help them. Yeah. I mean, we're not a placement. A lot of people say, hey, that's one of the things that, you know, speakers have been speaking for a while. The first thing they ask Jim or I, can you get me on more stages? And, you know, here's something that may have been true 10 years ago that, you know, the speakers bureaus can find people's stages. I just don't think it really works anymore. I think there's so many speakers and people are looking for very crafted, specific messages and information, not just motivational speakers, which may have been true maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That I know people who make their living speaking and they belong to speakers bureaus and they don't get any gigs through them. So, you know, not to say it's not possible. I think you got to be a celebrity to really make that work for you.
Yeah.
So what we can show you is to get really super clear on what problem you solve for whom, put together the right collateral. That's your speaker page. That's your one sheet. That's your speaker kit. That's your messaging. That's how to get on the phone and approach these places. You know, how to get on the right virtual stages, how to get the right video collateral that you need, how to get the experience on webinars. We have our own stages. We invite you as a member to be on our stages. So that's how we help to nurture people kind of along that pathway.
That makes sense. I love it. It makes perfect sense. Like speaker's pathway, right? It's like your entrance into the speaking realm and really growing and scaling your business that way. So I love it. Like I know personally of a few people, like one that comes to mind, someone I work with personally, if you are watching this, the replay, go back and watch Danella's interviews where she talks about like how she helps people find, like me and you, find these stages. She curates it specifically. Once you've worked with someone like Don, you know who you're looking for, what stages you're looking for. You go to her and she really curates and finds that for you. So it's a great resource to be able to do that. But if you don't know who is your target market, who you can serve and what your message is, you're not clear on that, reach out to Don to help you definitely get that figured out.
And one thing that many people may not be thinking about right now, but I feel it's a huge opportunity. You've heard of TED stages, right?
Right. Yeah. TED TED Talks and TEDx and yeah.
So many people are thinking, you know, there's no TED events right now. I don't want to spend any energy on that. But let me tell you, getting on a TEDx stage and getting a lot of views and getting on TED.com is a big deal. I mean, it will blow your brand up like almost no other free opportunity, right? I mean, it doesn't cost you anything to get on a TEDx stage or a TED stage. You just have to be really, really good. So I think some people are probably sleeping on this right now. TED stages will come back.
Yeah.
They put too much into this, right? Over like 1.5 billion views online, that they will come back. They might be smaller, but all the views are online anyways. And they may be sitting in a virtual room right now talking about launching their own virtual stages. So believe me,
TED stages
are coming back. So I was just piloting a program to teach people how to apply to and get on TEDx stages, put together a TED talk, and then make the most of it. And it's funny, by having this messages of inspiration, hope, and support, we've seen what really works on that virtual stage. So what we're going to do is we're going to take that training course, and then we're going to put on our own virtual stage that we're going to call the WebEx stage, where people get a chance to deliver their TED talk on a virtual stage and get that actual experience.
That's cool. I like that. That's fantastic. So again, reach out to Don. You can go to speakerspathway.com to learn more, and that will definitely get you, you know, connected with him so that when you can start getting on that TEDx stages, you can start and really just start getting that clarity around what you can speak about and what your message is, so that you're able to expand quickly. Because as soon as you get that down, I feel as soon as I got that down, things just started, invitations started coming in, opportunities started coming in. But without that clarity, I didn't see any of that because I was kind of all over the place. So after, I would say about 2 years ago is when we started really nailing down that clarity of message. And that's really when things started taking off. So that's important. Reach out to Don's Speaker's Pathway and go watch his current series that he's doing, the interviews with everyone, the 3 a day. Pay attention to what people are saying there. They have some powerful messages. I personally know someone on there, and I think you interviewed him already, Kieran. And he's talking about like virtual dinners and private, like intimate dinners, and something that's actually why you and I initially met. Because of that, because we wanted to start our own in Colorado Springs. Yeah. So obviously we can't right now. So We can't do the intimate dinners, but we can do virtual dinners or something like that. And Kieran really talked about something like that. It was fantastic. So reach out to Don here, Speakers Pathway. Get connected so that you can start your pathway to becoming a successful speaker. And yeah, reach out with any questions for him for sure.
Thank you so much, Victor. And I appreciate you. You were just talking again about the wall of yogurt. You know, once you got away from the wall of yogurt, like the meals started showing up, right?
So yeah, really exactly. When I moved away from that wall of yogurt, everything became so much more clear. I was like, oh, great. I know I need the strawberry Greek one from Faye or something like that. And then boom, I go in. I'm like, I got it. And then I'm out.
Boom. Yeah.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much again for coming on. I know once this is all over, you and I will reconvene. We'll talk about setting up those intimate dinners locally. So if you're local to Colorado Springs and watching this, definitely stay tuned, because we're going to be wanting to host some entrepreneurial dinners that are essentially no sales pitch, nothing. It's really just getting to know and grow your network with like-minded, successful business owners like ourselves and yourself, so that you can really expand your reach and understand who it is that you can serve and help even more.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Of course. All right. I'll see you guys Monday at 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time or 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Till next time, I'm Victor with VentoBot.